Taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 29, and can be found on page 972 of the Church Bibles. That's Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 13 on page 972. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
As Philip mentioned, we're coming to the end of the Sermon on the Mount and our sermon series as we work through the Sermon on the Mount. And as we come to this end and the passage that we're looking at this morning, Jesus wants to challenge us. What is our response to him and to all that he says? How are we going to respond to him? And with that challenge of response comes, and I wonder if you saw it as Tricia read, is a number of warnings to us as we think about our response. Now, we'll go through our days seeing and hearing warnings in many, many different contexts, some of which we should listen to and take heed of, some of which we might wonder why the warning is even there in the first place. I don't know about you, but one of the things for me that tells me that Christmas is coming is the coming out with the Christmas cups in coffee shops. They seem to come earlier and earlier each year. I reckon it's a few years to come that I'll be stood on a beach with the coffee cup from Costa about Christmas. But I'm not sure I'm that appreciative of the warning as I collect my coffee that the contents might be hot. I kind of think that's a given. Or I realise that in our church family at the moment, there's a few new mums or a few expectant mums. Here's a warning about using a buggy. Remove child before folding. Now, take that on board if you are having a baby soon. But hopefully it kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? Or maybe you're here and you're a pet lover. Here is a warning about pet medicine. Warning, may cause drowsiness. Use care when operating a car. Now, I don't know if you're a pet lover, whether you normally let them drive the car. This is warning you that when you use the medicine, that's best to avoid it. Or there's warnings that we see and we would probably prefer to ignore them. Or we kind of feel they kind of are out to spoil our fun. When I was younger, this was the warning I hated seeing. Even when I look at that now, my shoulders just drop. Really? I just want to have some fun and play football. What about when it comes to the warnings Jesus gives us? Are they warnings that we should listen to? Are they warnings that we roll our eyes and go, I don't think I really need to hear this? Or even, are they warnings that we think he's just out to spoil our fun? Maybe you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, but over the last few weeks and months, you've been looking into Christian things and you're working out what you make of this person, Jesus. Well, as Jesus speaks the end of his Sermon on the Mount, part of his speech in this section is to warn us about our response. Or maybe you're here and you've been a Christian for many, many years. And maybe you're very, very familiar with the words of Jesus. Well, in these verses, there are still warnings for us all. We're going to look at the four sections that we see read out as they're laid out. So we've got four points for us, four warnings, four dangers. So if you're a note taker, just try and space your notes out on your notice sheet. There's four points, not three, as we normally have. So just to warn you, as we go through the section, 4 points, the danger of choosing the easy path, the danger of false teaching, the danger of only using your lips, and the danger of only using your ears. First, Jesus says in verses 13 and 14, there's the danger of choosing the easy path, the danger of choosing the easy path. Jesus starts by almost taking us for a walk in the countryside. And you see what he says straight away in verse 13. He calls us to choose the narrow gates. That is, as Jesus compares people who choose not to follow him and choose to follow him, he says, those that choose to follow me must come through the narrow gates. And he shows us the two alternative routes. And I wonder, as this was read out, I wonder if you saw the four contrasts in this picture that Jesus gives us. If you're more of a visual learner, we'll lay them out on the screen as we go through them, so we pick them up. First, he says that there is a different gate. One is wide. He says it's easy to get onto this road, whereas the other is small. It's not necessarily the easiest choice to be able to get on. And the different gates lead to different roads. One road is broad. This word broad, it means easy or spacious or roomy. It gives the impression of a nice, gentle stroll, an easy journey. Nice and lots of room to accommodate people and all their different thoughts and opinions and ways of doing things. Anything and everything is accommodated on this easy road. One writer described it like this: there is plenty of room on it for the diversity of opinions and laxity of morals. It's the road of tolerance and permissiveness. It has no curbs, no boundaries of either thought or conduct. One way is broad, and the other way is narrow. This word is literally hard. The boundaries are clearly marked. Perseverance is needed to keep on going along this road. And different roads lead to different destinations. Did you see that? One leads to destruction. It's a horrible image, isn't it? Of people just quite easily strolling along, gentle stroll in the countryside, and yet not realizing that where they are heading is to destruction. And the other leads to life. It's the complete opposite picture, isn't it? It is a hard road, but there is reward at the end of it. Life. And this word life, it speaks of the goodness of life. Life in all its fullness. Life that starts now and goes on forever. Life with God and with all the goodnesses of God. And finally, he says there's different gates, different roads, different destinations. And did you notice there are different crowds? One has many. It's attractive. It's quite easy to get in, easy to go along it, easy to choose. And yet the other has few. Well, if it's less attractive to travel in and harder to travel on, well, it probably goes, doesn't it, that only a few will choose it. Jesus shows us the contrast when responding to him. The contrast of those who respond to follow him and those who respond by not following him. And so Jesus gives us the warning. He gives the warning, the reality check almost, for those who call themselves Christians, who choose to follow him, by saying it's not the easy path. It will mean taking hard choices. It will mean sticking out, following what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. It won't be the popular choice. It's not following the crowd. Few will take it, we're told. And sadly, maybe for you, you feel that all too well. Maybe you think about your workplace and you're the only Christian you can identify in that place. Maybe you think about your streets, as we've heard from Jill. Maybe you look close to home and think about it in your family. But Jesus says it is worth it. Because whilst the warning is clear for those who choose the easy path, it leads to destruction. The reward is clear for those who choose the hard path. It leads to life. And so which do you choose? And notice Jesus is really clear as he gives us this picture of this walk along the countryside. There's no proverbial fence to sit on, is there? There's two gates, two roads, two crowds, and two destinations. The danger of choosing the easy path. And then second, Jesus moves on and shows us the danger of false teaching. The danger of false teaching. Jesus challenges us as to who we're listening to. And he says to all of us, we need to be active listeners. And as we listen, we need to be aware of seeing too. Here's the warning from Jesus, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. Jesus says there will be false prophets. It's a bit like, look, you don't put out a beware of the dog sign if all you've got inside your house is a goldfish. Jesus says, look, watch out because they are a reality. It's seen in the Old Testament. The false prophets claiming to be from God. It's seen in the New Testament and warned about throughout the letters. It's sadly seen in the history of the church and is sadly seen today. Prophets in the Bible are those who claim to be from God, who have a message from God to speak to his people. And today, I think it's fair to apply this to the teaching or preaching that we hear about the Christian faith. And I think it's worth highlighting here, worth noting that that Jesus is making clear that there can be, there will be false teaching. And so by implication, there is also true teaching. Jesus doesn't give us an option of a kind of pluralistic, kind of anything goes, what's true for you isn't really true for me, and what you don't like, well, I think is true kind of attitude. That's a really popular feeling in today's culture. But I think Jesus is really clear here. There is false teaching, and there is true teaching. And notice what Jesus says about these false teachers. He says they can be deceitful and they can be devastating. Deceitful, verse 15, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. A wolf is the enemy of the sheep. A shepherd is there to defend and to look after the sheep from any wolf, to keep them away from the wolf. And Jesus says, watch out, these are wolves in sheep's clothing. At first appearance, Jesus warns, they seem like a sheep, a follower of Jesus, maybe a good leader, a good teacher, a good preacher. And yet, underneath the wool is a completely different picture. He says they're deceitful and he says they're devastating. Because they're not sheep, they're wolves. And they've not come to kind of cuddle the sheep to sleep. Now, do you notice how Jesus describes them at the end of verse 15? Ferocious. They've come to destroy. Wolves can have devastating consequences. And so Jesus says, we are, verse 15, to watch out. We need to be active listeners. How can we do that? Two things I think Jesus highlights. We need to watch out and spot them by their teaching. If prophets taught things from God, and so teachers today should be teaching things from God, of God, from God's word, as we heard this morning in the all-age slot. Jesus later in verse 24, he speaks of listening to his words as he makes the claim that his words are God's words. And so as any time you might hear Christian teaching, is someone opening up God's word, the Bible, and showing you what God is saying, what Jesus is saying? Or do they take what Jesus says and maybe just straight out ignores it? Or twists it, or subtly changes it. That's why we as a church, we long to be a word-shaped church. Because here's the distinction. We don't claim to have the truth. I don't claim to have the truth. We claim Jesus has the truth. And so let's be listening to what he is saying. Let's be active listeners. But sometimes it can be hard. Maybe you sit there and you think, it sounds right. It sounds like the right thing coming from the Bible. And so then Jesus says, well, watch out for them by their lifestyle. Because over time, you can notice. Do you see twice he points it out, verse 16 and verse 20? By their fruit, you will recognize them. Jesus gives a picture of a good tree that gives good fruit and a bad tree that gives bad fruit. And Jesus is saying, look, you can see it in their conduct and in their character. Now, of course, every single person makes mistakes. We need to be careful not to just jump on the first mistake and identify them as a false teacher. But he's saying, over time, what is the fruit that's coming out? Is there a regularity to it? Is there a lack of any kind of acknowledgement or repentance of wrongdoing? Are they trying to kind of excuse it or justify it? Watch out over time. Jesus isn't just pointing out one bad apple, but the whole fruit from the tree. Maybe it's as Paul later on in Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit, someone who is changed by the Holy Spirit, and speaks of characteristics like kindness and gentleness and patience and self-control. And yet you hear someone preach it, but you notice they don't show it in their life. Look, these were tough verses for me reading as I was preparing this for today. A real challenge to make sure that I don't just speak my own words, but I show you what Jesus Christ is saying. But it's a real challenge to all of us to be active listeners. Jesus warns of the danger of false teachers. And then Jesus moves on to the next one, and the next two kind of come together. You'll see the similar focus with a slightly different application. And so number three, he shows us the danger of only using your lips, the danger of only using your lips. And maybe as Tricia read these out, as you read them, these can be quite scary verses for us. Maybe verses that you've looked at in the past and can really scare you. What does this mean for me? Am I one of these people? And so it's important to take a closer look at them to see what Jesus is saying and so what Jesus isn't saying. Remember the context of these verses, the context of the whole sermon that Jesus has been preaching. Throughout, Jesus has been wanting to make the distinction between genuine followers of Jesus and others. Do you remember the hypocrites at the start of chapter 6? The hypocrites who give and who pray and who fast. What's a hypocrite? Well, it's someone who says one thing with their lips and yet does something different with their lives, sometimes maybe for show, to impress others. And that's the person Jesus is warning about here. The person who is saying, verse 21, Lord, Lord, and yet isn't doing, rest of verse 21, the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's the person who hears the devastating words of verse 23. I never knew you, away from me. It's faith that involves just their lips and doesn't affect their life. And so the challenge from Jesus of a true response to him, true disciples of Jesus, are to say, Lord, Lord, and to let it transform and shape your actions in your life as well. Let their lives reflect the words that they say. Lives that reflect and live out the Sermon on the Mount. It's worth saying at this point that Jesus is clear and the New Testament is clear that we are saved by grace alone, not by what we do. We're saved by faith alone. It's trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us that saves us. And alongside this, the reformers 500 years ago said this, we are saved by faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. We are saved by faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. What they're saying is it is only faith that saves us. But a saving faith isn't all there is. A saving faith results in a transformed life. Jesus is saying, how will we respond to him? If we say we trust in him, will we obey him with our life? And not just say so with our lips. The danger, Jesus warns, of only using your lips. And then finally, Jesus highlights, if he's warned about only using our lips, in verses 24 to 27, he warns us about only using our ears. The danger of only using your ears, verses 24 to 27. We were in the countryside at the start of this passage. Jesus now moves us to the construction industry. And you see the challenge from Jesus in verse 24. We need to hear these words of Jesus and put them into practice. Again, Jesus challenges us over the importance of our response. And to show that, he tells us the famous parable of the wise and foolish builders. Two builders, both building a house, both experiencing a storm, but very different results. We all know it, don't we? The wise man built his house upon the rocks. We enjoyed that yesterday as I was practicing my sermon on my children, sang through the song. They're lucky girls, aren't they? But we know how it goes. One does not fall. Verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. And one falls, verse 27, same words, the rain came down, the stream rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Look, it's great fun singing those songs. Even Bethany was getting involved with the actions. But as we went through it and sung it for the fifth time, I realized that it doesn't actually tell us the meaning of the story. It never mentions Jesus. Sorry to disappoint you. We were thinking about whether we should sing that song after the sermon. But actually, it doesn't tell us why Jesus tells us this parable. You see, both builders hear the words of Jesus, verse 24 and verse 26. The difference lies in our response when we hear them. One hears the words and puts them into practice, building on solid foundation. And the other hears, but doesn't let them shape their actions. They build on sand. And so when the storms come, and I think we can interpret this as the tough times that we can go through in our lives today, but also can point to that final judgment which Jesus referred to a number of times in our passage this morning. Where is our foundation? It's no good just saying, "Oh, we heard about Jesus." But did we put our trust in him? And did we let what he says shape and affect the way that we live our lives? We need to listen to Jesus, but don't just fill up your knowledge knowing the Bible. We need to put his words into action. Do the Bible. The message of Jesus needs to be the foundation of our lives, and only this will keep us standing in the storms of life. The hard times we go through, having the foundation to know that Jesus loves us and he cares for us. And so will we live out his call to us. And so as we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew even kind of sums up in verses 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The crowds are left thinking, and maybe we're left thinking, who is this man? Amazed, the crowds are. Authority this man has. He judges, verse 23. He speaks words that are on a par of the God of the universe, verse 24. Look, as we go through life and we read the different warnings that come with everyday life, some we will listen to, some we will laugh at, some we will feel are just spoiling our fun. When it comes to Jesus, how we respond to his warnings. If you're sat here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, can I gently nudge you to say, will you accept him? Will you hear the warnings that Jesus gives? And will you respond by putting your trust in him? For those of us who would call ourselves Christians, do we have the reaction of the crowds? Are we amazed by him? And do we recognize his authority and so obey him in our lives? Jesus gives teaching that's not just to be admired, but to be obeyed. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you so much for Jesus and his teaching as we've traveled through the whole Sermon on the Mount, as we finish here with the challenge to respond and the warnings that come with it. Father, help us to hear these warnings and help us to obey Jesus' commands. May we have faith that affects and shapes every single area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.